4CRB 89.3 FM. Nice and easy on the Gold Coast.
Welcome to The Law and You on 4CRB. I'm Margaret Miller from the Bell Legal Group, answering your legal questions today. If you've got a question, call me on 5520 8888. Let's take our first question from George. Good morning, George. What can I do to help you?
Oh, good morning, Margaret. I'm calling on behalf of a lady friend of mine, and she'd done some damage to a house that she lives in accidentally with her car. It was a high set house, and as she drove in, she knocked one of the, you know, supports that hold the floor above. Anyway, despite of all that, she was more than willing to pay the damages and all that. She was very regretful. The other person that shares the house owns the house. Now, they had it repaired, but the guy who repaired it actually made it worse than it was. He was just a cowboy that didn't know what he was doing. So I'm just wondering, I think they're in the process of having it fixed properly now by a professional, but I'm just wondering if there's anything she can do to, because it's going to cost thousands of dollars apparently, to fix the damage that this guy did. And I'm just wondering if she can go through QCAT to try and retrieve some of these expenses.
Well, George, did she organise the repair herself, did she?
Apparently it was someone that, you know, word of mouth sort of thing,
sure.
You know, a blow down the road does a lot of that sort of work, and she got in, didn't know who it was, but apparently when he jacked the jack part of the house up, and apparently it went straight through the floor and broke tiles and damaged paint, and it's basically a disaster what this guy did.
Right.
But I believe he's not licensed.
He is licensed? Is he licensed?
I don't believe so, no.
Right.
He was just one of the handyman type guys, you know.
Oh, dear. And was the work more than $3,000 worth, obviously?
No, that's why they got this guy to do it. He was under the $3,000, but the damage he's caused is way beyond $3,000 now.
Well, he's not licensed, and I think I've spoken before about if you're getting anybody to do anything to your home or building,
yeah.
Always check if they have the proper license, because if they don't, you're up the creek if anything goes wrong. Now, in this case, she can make a claim against him to QCAT, and what she probably needs to do is to get estimates of what it costs to fix what he didn't do properly.
Yeah.
And
yes,
her claim would be for a refund of what she paid him. And as well as that, she could claim the money that is necessary to fix the damage he caused. So she'll need to have documents to show that.
Yeah, I told her that. But they need to have it fixed now, like immediately, because that process could obviously take a while.
Oh, no, to get it fixed. Get it fixed.
Yeah.
And if you've got your invoices, this is what it costs to fix it. That's what you take to QCAT.
Yeah, what we wasn't sure of whether QCAT handles us, because it's like a civil thing, isn't it?
They do building matters. QCAT has a building jurisdiction, and in fact the QCAT court at Southport, there is an arbitrator down there who is a member who's very good on building matters, so you'll get a good decision down there.
Even if this guy obviously wasn't licensed, he obviously didn't know what he was doing, so he's just roused about that, thinks he, you know, knows how to fix things. He's still responsible, this man?
Yes, he's still responsible because, as you know, under the Australian consumer law, when people provide services, they have to be of proper standard. And if they're not, you can sue them.
Okay, but they need documents.
She will need to have documents to prove her case, because you can't just go into QCAT and say, he did the wrong thing, it cost X dollars.
Yeah.
They will need to see the tax invoices and have evidence of what he did. And she should probably take photos if she's able to take some photos as well.
Yeah, she's good like that. I told her to collect all the evidence. But what she was afraid of was the decision made by QCAT is not binding, though, is it? They can't enforce it.
You can. Once you get a QCAT decision, they issue the decision. It has the effect of an order. So if he doesn't pay, then you would take the order and register it in the magistrate's court and follow the normal enforcement proceedings. Where you can sell up his house or get into his bank account or whatever.
Yes, it is
enforceable.
That's what I thought. She said to me, I don't think QCAT, when they make a decision, I don't think if the person doesn't come to the party, She said, I don't think you can do anything about it.
You can. They can make a decision if he doesn't turn up as well. It might be an idea if she's in the dark that she should pop down to somewhere like the Robina Community Legal Centre that operates on Thursday nights, and she can get some advice on how to do it.
Yeah, I'll do that. Thanks very much for your help.
Thank you, George. We might take a question from Mary now. Good morning, Mary. How can I help you?
Yes, you can. My name is Mary.
Yes, tell me your problem.
Oh, my problem is I want to pass my share of a factory that I have to my son. It's not going to be any money change or anything, just my name to be exchanged with my son's name.
Mm-hmm.
Can I do that?
You can. There's no reason why you can't.
Okay. So how do I go about it? The property is in Victoria. Do I have to pay any duties and things?
You would probably have to pay stamp duty on the value of the transfer.
So
whatever your share is worth, the Victorian government puts its hand out and asks for a bit of stamp duty. And obviously you will need to... Is it a real property that you're talking about or just a business?
It is a property that we rent. It's the property, it's the building.
So you own the building at the moment?
Yes, my husband,
All right, well, in that case, you would have to do a property transfer, so you'll probably need to use a lawyer to do that.
Yeah, I understand.
You would have to sign a transfer, and there would be stamp duty payable, so you would need to get a valuation of what the share that you're transferring to your son is worth and pay the proper duty on that.
Okay.
Now, the other alternative you've got, Mary, if you don't want to pay stamp duty and there's no rush about transferring the property to your son, you could always leave it to him in your will, and a transfer under a will doesn't attract stamp duty.
I understand. What I'm trying to do, I'm trying to protect the property. I've got a second question, if I may.
Sure. What are you trying to protect it against?
My husband, my gambling.
Oh, I see. Okay. I see what you're saying, yes. Well, that's probably a good idea to transfer it out of your name. Alternative that you could do is give your son a power of attorney over your share in the property. But, of course, if you're getting debts, it's better to get things out of your name.
That's right. So the second thing I want to ask you, I'm here in Queensland and I have got an apartment in a high rise. Now, I issued the contents. Unfortunately, in the contents, it does not, and I tried many insurances, it doesn't include the ducting, air conditioning, the building supplies. So we have got a ducting, air conditioning, and when those pipes burst, it is our responsibility to look after them and check them. So when you buy a unit, you've got no idea what the condition of the air conditioning is. So when this happens, and it happened to my next-door neighbor, she wasn't covered. The body corporate insurance had a $5,000 pay before anything happened. So what can we do? Like, how can we insure? Like, you insure a house, you know, you insure your home.
Well, ordinarily, if you're in a body corporate, your responsibility stops at the walls, and anything outside the walls and in the ceiling and onwards that are part of the building, they're normally the body corporate responsibility.
Unfortunately, the part of the ceiling is inside the unit, so anything that is inside the unit is ours.
But it may not be inside the unit. It may be outside the unit as part of the building. So possibly the thing to do is to get someone to check your body corporate documents just to make sure.
I have done that.
You've done that already.
In that case,
you should probably get someone out to check the condition of the air conditioning ducts. And if they are no good, just replace them. You might not have any choice.
It seems like that's what I think it is. You have just no choice.
Yes.
You pay the $5,000 and then you claim in the insurance, hopefully, you know, your claim is bigger than $5,000. If it's less,
yes,
then you're stuck. Yeah, and the problem is of also you're stuck with a situation when the water goes to the floor downstairs. Because no contents insurance, the contents is whatever you pick up and go. So it's very difficult to find an insurance that will cover me. So what happens to the people downstairs?
Well, if water comes from your property, depending on if it's a maintenance issue, then obviously the insurance company won't cover you. But if it's something that happens that it's not your fault, then you should be covered by the insurance. I would just check around and see, get another insurance company. I would check and see if you can find a different insurance company, because there seems to be a terrible lot of exclusions in your policy, which is very unusual for body corporate. I've had body corporate insurances before and it covers most things. So I'd be checking with other insurance companies. It might be an idea for you to speak to an insurance broker, because they handle a lot of different insurance companies, and tell them what you need and they'll tell you which companies do it.
Believe me, I've done that as well.
All right,
I've
Mary.
I've done that as well.
Well,
thank you.
That's the best advice I can give you. We might take a message from our sponsor before we move on to the next question.
Centrally located on the Gold Coast is Earl Haven Retirement Village, situated at Lawrence Drive, Narang. Being within easy walking distance to the local shopping, rail and bus transport makes Earl Haven a highly desirable choice to live your retirement years. At Earl Haven, we have a large, friendly community of residents and offer a vast range of facilities and social activities, with our a la carte restaurant and coffee shop opening 7 days a week. To make an appointment to view our units, please call me, Shelley, on 55783433.
For independent living and serviced apartments, call our sponsor Earl Haven Retirement Village, Lawrence Drive, Narang, on 55783433.
Give your garden the tender, loving care it deserves with Rocky Point's sugarcane mulch, a favourite organic mulch used for generations. Rocky Point's sugarcane mulch is perfect for all gardens and potted plants. It keeps plants well insulated during winter and cool in summer. Sugarcane mulch from our sponsor Rocky Point controls weeds and adds essential organic matter to your soil. Available from all good independent nurseries and garden retailers. For more information, go to rockypoint.com.au.
Welcome back to The Law and You with Margaret Miller from Bell Legal Group, 5520-8888, if you've got a legal question. Let's see what Warwick has on his mind this morning. Good morning, Warwick.
Good morning, Margaret. Thank you for taking my call.
What can I do to help you?
It's a consumer law issue regarding a motor vehicle. The motor vehicle was purchased new from a dealer here on the coast. The motor vehicle is 2 years, 8 months old. It has a common engine with three other makes of vehicles, and all the four makes of vehicles have the same engine problem, because it's a turbo-assisted engine, and the engine or the turbo assistant fails and the engine goes into what they call limp mode, so that you can get to a service station. Now, because my car's under 3 years old, I've put it in for repairs, and the dealership is trying to tell me that I'm responsible for the labour on the repair. What assurances can I get that the dealership does not double dip, get me to pay, and then still bill the manufacturer of the vehicle?
Well, probably the way to go is to ring up the manufacturer and make your complaint direct to them, because they would have a head office.
They have my car at the moment, and I want my car back.
Yes, but that's okay. You can still ring the manufacturer and say, who's paying for it? Now, the last time I was doing The Law and You for John Fradgley, I always say the Australian consumer law is my favourite law, because what it provides is that if you buy a product, then it should last as long as a product that costs that much should last. Now, obviously, your car is under 3 years, so my view would be that any problems with it that are a manufacturing defect should be treated as a warranty problem, and you shouldn't put your hand in your pocket at all.
Thank you. That was what I was thinking.
Now, I'm just going to tell you what's been happening. The ACCC has been slamming the car manufacturers for doing things exactly like this, telling people it's not a warranty problem, you need to pay. Ford recently was done because they told a lot of consumers that the problem with the car was how they drove it, when it was actually a problem with the vehicle itself. And they were given a hefty fine by the ACCC and given a hard reset. So my view is that I would ring the manufacturer. I would say, under the Australian consumer law, you've sold me a product that's defective. You should fix it. And if you're not happy with that, give the ACCC a call and have a complaint. They are currently on this hobby horse of motor vehicle manufacturers who for many years have been pretending they're not covered by the consumer law. And it's about time that someone set them right.
Excellent. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Warwick. I'm glad I could help you. Our next caller is Phoebe. What can I do to help you, Phoebe?
Yes. Hello.
Hello, Phoebe. How are you?
Oh, hello, Margaret. Sorry. I have a kangaroo issue. I live on an ecological development of 270 acres under a body corporate governance. We have a land for wildlife registration. Alongside our property is also a council property, which is an oval. The kangaroos have roamed on these properties for many years. The community is aware that uninvited visitors are proving a concern as they approach the kangaroos, which are wild. Some owners have spoken to people to warn them of their need to regard them as wild animals and been refuted. It's estimated there's about 60-plus males, females and joeys at Foot and Joeys in Pouch. The council has placed a small sign on the oval to warn against feeding and that they are wild animals. And a clear warning is at the entry to the estate, which is a public road. The concern from owners is when visitors trespass their private lots and try to pat these wild animals. And sometimes the owners speak to them and ask them not to do it and they take no notice. The social media appears to be a source of information about the kangaroos on our site. Can you help me with, if a kangaroo attacks a trespasser on your private property, what stand does the owner have?
Now, the trespasser isn't an invitee on your property? You haven't invited them on?
No.
Okay.
No.
Well, in that case, if there are warning signs at the boundaries of the property warning people, and most people know that wild animals are wild animals, then it's a matter of it's their problem if they get attacked by a kangaroo. You would have insurance on your property just ordinarily as public liability. So your worst case scenario is you refer it off to your insurer. But having a daughter who lives in Canberra where kangaroos hop down the streets, literally, everyone is aware that they need to stay back from kangaroos.
Right.
I think that basically you just need to let people look after themselves. If they're silly enough to approach a kangaroo that might kick them or scratch them, then there's nothing you can do about it. You can't stand there and warn them off all the time. But, you know, it's a matter of common sense. People know wild animals should be left alone.
Yes, yes, thank you very much for that. It just assures me of where we stand. Thank you.
It's a most interesting problem. I'm glad I had that one. Thanks, Phoebe. Have a wonderful day. While I'm at it and talking about people that might help you, there is a seminar this evening at the Robina Community Legal Centre about parenting matters. It's on at 6 o'clock at the Robina Community Centre, and the presenter is a wonderful family lawyer who works at Bell Legal Group with me, Alex Wynn. And he's going to talk about all the issues that you need to know about parenting matters if you've separated or if you're having problems with the other parent, with your children. There has been a lot of people who can't afford the expense of having a lawyer. So Alex in particular is going to talk about people who want to do their own proceedings and how they go about it. It should be quite interesting. Alex did a previous presentation at the community centre on property settlement, which was very well attended. If you've got parenting issues or questions, it's probably worth going and having a look. I commend it highly. We might have a message from a sponsor while we wait for the next call.
50 months, interest-free, no deposits, no interest, with 50 equal monthly payments until October 2022 at Harvey Norman Tweed. Furniture, bedding and flooring, home appliances, televisions and technology. Minimum financed amount, $750. Approved applicants only. Interest applies if you do not comply with terms and conditions. Fees and exclusions apply. See website for details. 50 months, interest-free. Available now, in-store and online. No deposit, no interest, with 50 equal monthly payments until October 2022. 50 months, interest-free at Harvey Norman Tweed.
Another sponsor.
With loads of choice and weekly menus, you can't go past our sponsor Palm Beach Meals on Wheels, Narang to Southport down to Benora Point. Fresh, nutritious and tasty meals that are awesome value for money. Call 55-356-036.
This is Margaret Miller on The Law and You, 5520-8888. John Fradgley had a question last week from Bill. About a couple living on acreage 10 kilometres from a country city. They've agreed how they're going to split their assets, but they're not going to apply for a divorce until their son turns 18 in about 16 months' time. The property that they live on is owned in half shares to each of them, and they wanted to know how they could transfer that property and avoid stamp duty. Just basically, Bill, there is a provision in the Family Law Act, Section 90, that allows a waiver of stamp duty where the transfer is done in a property settlement. So the couple can do a property settlement at any time. They don't have to wait until they're divorced. They can do it only about the property itself, or they can do it about all the assets if they've reached an agreement about it. There are two ways of doing it. One way is an application for consent orders, where you fill in forms and apply to the court, and the court sends you back a stamped order. You use that order, and when you do the transfer, there's no stamp duty payable. The other alternative is you can have a binding financial agreement, which is the same agreement, but it doesn't go through the court. It's a private agreement like a contract that both parties sign. And again, that agreement will enable you to apply to transfer the property without payment of stamp duty. If you've got any questions about it, obviously pop down to a community legal centre or see your lawyer who can help you how to help you do it. It's quite a simple procedure. It's not necessary for the couple to wait until they divorce. But what they should remember is if they don't finish their property settlement, when they divorce, there is a 12-month period in which they can apply to the court for property settlement. And if they don't apply in that time, then after that time, they need to get special leave of the court to apply. So get the property settlement done. My advice is generally do it sooner rather than later, but there is no issue with doing it after the divorce if they want to do it then, or they can do it now. There's no difference. Speaking of doing things at the right time, I had a matter recently where I'm the executor, and what's happened in this case is that the will doesn't reflect what the deceased person wanted to do. So there's a claim against the estate by children who are left out. Apparently, Dad said that he was making a new will. His original will left everything to his wife, and then if the wife died after him, she would have left it to the children. Now, what's happened is he left his estate to his wife. Unfortunately, she died first, and he's left his estate to other people rather than to the children, which is what he wanted to do. My advice is that review your wills regularly. Have a look at them every couple of years to make sure that they say what you want them to say. This matter's going to settle quite amicably, but sometimes they don't. It's a good idea to be very, very careful. This is The Law and You with Margaret Miller. John Fradgley will be back to answer your questions next week. It's been a pleasure helping listeners of 4CRB with their legal problems.